So I've been pretty lucky lately. I've been getting to spend all of my days with my amazing older sister, Catherine Powers.
Dream come true.
It really is.
We've always liked communal living.
I know. And it has not been hard.
No, because you and I are very honest with each other, too.
To get here.
No begrudging weirdness.
Do you feel like it took a minute for us to get here? How's our journey as siblings gone?
Oh, gosh.
In a nutshell.
I think God gave us each other to be the best humans we could be because our brains cannot be more opposite.
It's so true.
But I'm such a better human for loving you.
And I am such a better human for loving you because I was sitting there. Oh, this is what I was reading in Gay Gaddis. So everyone needs to check out Gay Gaddis's book. A Cowgirl's Guide to Kicking Ass. I forgot what it's called exactly.
GayGaddis.com.
GayGaddis.com. She had on her newsletter that I'm a part of the, you know what? I need to just read it because I will mess it up. Okay. I'm going to read this because I thought of you, sister. I thought of, here's what it says. Talking about right now in the lockdown, she said something about the, sorry, everyone. I don't want to mess this up. She said the ones who can hold their composure, I'm not finding it, who can hold their composure in the middle of all of this are the leaders of tomorrow. And I really thought that, I can't find it, and I'm really sad about it because it was a really good little thing. Anyway, check her out, GayGaddis.com. But she's basically saying the people who can stay positive and like find the silver lining and keep their head above water in these kinds of times are the leaders of tomorrow. And I thought to myself, that is you, sister. Like, that is you, and that is totally how you have always been. And you even like recently, our grandfather has had a hip surgery, and he's, you know, it's been hard to navigate what to do, especially in coronavirus, but you have just stepped up. You find a plan, you find a solution, you don't get lost in your feelings so much that like you feel stuff, but you don't just swim in the feelings. You're like, okay, what's our plan? What's our action? How do we do this? And then not only do you think that way, you actually do it, and you do all the action steps and make it happen. Like, you had like a full plan with like, you'd already called like four different assisted livings and all sorts of stuff, and like you talked to my aunt, my mom, everyone, and all of a sudden there's like this perfect plan in place. I'm like, are you a wizard?
No, I think the older the older I've gotten, the world is so daunting. I've really made a conscious decision to focus on what I can control and really let go of sorry, don't have corona.
Corona.
Texas allergies.
I cough all the time.
I made a conscious decision to focus on what I can control and let go of what I can't. And it's allowed me to live in freedom and not in fear. Because when you're trying to, I'm a type 1, type A personality. And so when you're trying to make sense of everything, it's daunting. If everything that crosses your path, you're giving feelings to, you're trying to control, you're trying to fix. I felt compelled to try to do everything.
Yes.
And I've acknowledged now that everybody is so gifted and unique. And to focus on the best thing about everybody and
yes,
then focus on what I can control and let go of what I can't. And it's freed me. It's changed my life.
It has.
Because I was in bondage to expectations and, you know, the way my brain is wired, I now know I have thoughts on how, like for you, for instance, I've seen you in this light. I mean, you're living your best life. And I've seen you in this light always, even when you weren't here. And it's a weird thing. And I realize it's something, it's a gift if you use it as a gift, or it's a burden if you let it drag you down. And
that's such a good point.
I want to live in the light. I want to enjoy people. I mean, the world, despite the craziness, is such an interesting, wonderful place. And I feel like right now we see that because we're blessed beyond measure by incredible people. And you intentionally get to keep up with these incredible people. So how did we start on this?
I don't know. I feel like I cut you off in the first question, did I? I sidetracked into Gay's
website.
Our brain.
So that's how we were talking about our different brains. You have the high feels and the low feels. And I will say you've really helped our family be real with our feelings. You know,
thanks.
I feel like we're tough and we can you know, we were raised to, you wrote that song about, I come from a long line of women that never gave up.
Listen, I have all these songs and about three people know them, and it's Catherine, Willie, Genevieve, we Ellie, and my them. Mom and dad.
And so I feel like we're so tough and we were, you know, I love our endurance, but I feel like you've really helped us, or helped me feel and connect and be true and honest and say what we feel. Like, I really have gotten to a point because of you, your therapy and all the vicariously.
Well, this actually makes me feel good because I always feel like a hot mess.
No, all of the working on yourself has helped me work on myself. Like, I truly feel like I can be honestly myself. And you've helped me come that way because I didn't even know what I was feeling for a minute.
But you've always been good at reading self-help and journaling and taking note of your feelings.
No big deal. I saw Oprah the week before Corona went down.
And y'all hugged.
Held hands and hugged.
What did her hand feel like? I asked you that
peace,
on the phone.
Peace, calm, just, I mean, grounding. She's grounded.
How do you think she got
people
there?
That know who they are and what they're going for are stable. Your rudder is firm and stable, and you're not. I was reading a devotional this morning, and when your rudder is stable, the winds don't, you don't spin in circles. Like, you're straight and you're on a path. And I think if you don't even necessarily have to know where you're going, but if you know generally what you're going for, I feel like it just helps you make stay calmer during the thrashing.
What are you going for?
I really want to be present in every moment. Like, as a mom now, that's what I live by to-do list. I'm a type A, and so I always have a to-do list. Every day I wake up, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do this week? I mean, nauseating to a brain like you.
But it's also really helpful.
You do like a list now.
I like a list, and I like a type A sister who wants to get everything done. Because I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ride the wave behind you.
And I have, I think, a need to control, to compensate for the ego or the insecurity of that type A wanting to be in charge. Mm-hmm. But for
what is the ego or the insecurity? What's the flip side of it?
Well, it's seeing the beauty of everybody's individuality, not trying to control the situation, but showing up and letting people be who they are and seeing them for what they have to offer.
That's so you have to flip your brain.
Yes, because I used to view people as, oh, here's this person. And for whatever reason, not that I know better, but I felt like, how can I help them? What can I do for them? Oh, let me do your laundry and make your food, or help you get a job, or edit your resume, or cook you meals, or drive you to your doctor's appointment. And
figure out your whole life like you did for me, which I appreciated.
But you had to find your own way. Like, ultimately, for to have joy, you have to figure it out yourself. And so now my goal is to walk alongside people, like, be your partner, always be there for you as much as you can, but to let everyone's on their own path. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what that is. For me, I think the way you can show up for people is just acknowledging that, loving them, being there for them, but not having an expectation. Expectations will kill you.
The thing, though, that must be daunting and frustrating for you, because I would be frustrated if I was you. You have the ability to do, it's like Genevieve, your daughter. Genevieve is such a perfect mix of you and Willie. It's so fun mm-hmm. to watch her, because now she's 9. And she's like, she's got Willie's wild, creative, like, let's go get dirty in the mud and run around.
Totally. Like, she ain't scared of nothing.
Ain't scared of nothing. Shooting a gun at 9, driving a car. I mean, you did all that too, though. I mean, you were very capable. But then she has your ability to, like, I have told her how to take care of Sunny one time on everything. I was just like, okay, when we get her up, we will turn off the sound machine, take her out of her sleep sack, change her diaper. I showed her how to change the diaper because her diaper's a little big, to put the Velcro down.
Told me,
like,
how
she
to
remembers
do
everything perfectly. Like, she doesn't skip a step, and then she's so joyful and fun. And that's what you have. Like, you have that ability to never skip a step. So where I was going with this is, it would be frustrating to me if I was you. And not only was I so capable, like you are, to do all these things, so smart to think in a way to figure them out, then you have the ability to, like, you make them happen. And it doesn't feel hard for you. Like, it's not like,
but
ugh.
The fun memories but are not, like, the planned out stuff.
But I would be frustrated if I was you, if I was dealing like someone like me, who literally, my brain, when I have chores and tasks and learning and things to do, like, it shuts down. I get this, like, buzz feeling in my head.
Thinking back to you on Amazing Race when y'all had to read a manual to put together that
car.
Yeah.
Like reading instructions is your nightmare. Yeah, you freaked out.
I see all these things that have to be done and my brain, it overwhelms it and it just shuts it off.
Oh, I love a manual. We got new internet out here. Give me instructions and a plan and...
But you see like 1,000 puzzle pieces laying on a table.
I love it.
And you're like, nobody do this until I wake up. I'm like, please don't worry. I'm not even coming near the puzzle table.
But I think now,
would that be frustrating?
No, because A, I like to be in control. So it's great if I don't have to compete. I can just do it.
All these lazy people out here aren't doing anything.
I don't think that at all. I don't see it that way. Like the way my brain is wired, you add so much fun. Like a plan is boring. I mean, it's essential, especially when you're surviving and you're feeding and cleaning. And I thrive on a routine. Mm-hmm. But the memories, I always think, so my freshman year in college, one of our Pledge sisters, Melissa Caffey, was killed in front of all of us. It was hit by a car. It was horrible.
It was a total tragic freak.
It could have been any of us. Baylor, we went to Baylor. Right, we were all right there. The streets are dark. Nobody was drinking. I mean, it was pure just freak accident. And honestly, that changed my thinking because today has to be a good day.
You say that every day. Every time I call you, you're like, today's a good day.
Because there's no guarantee. I mean, Corona, all these weird things. And I don't want to live in fear because I don't want to miss out on the beauty of today. And I think your personality and Willie and Genevieve, y'all have helped me be fun, have dance parties, be weird, get muddy. Who cares if you get muddy?
Yeah.
It's so fun to be muddy.
You can take a shower.
You can take a shower. I mean,
but you have to get over that, like, oh my gosh, then I have to clean the house, clean the laundry, clean the kid, all that stuff. But it's like, who cares?
Well, if you're going for the moments and the memories, I think at the end of, I always say too, that one day my house is going to be clean and smell like mothballs. Like right now, it's a muddy mess. But if I died tomorrow, today was a great day. And we enjoyed the mud and the being outside.
And the rabbit that just hopped by the window.
The rabbit and the bunny and the two dogs. And
the hamster.
I love it. The hair everywhere. But I don't know. I think that is some, that's what I always say I'm going for. Like, just to be present. And you don't have to say yes to everything, but just trying.
You're the one that told us if it's not a yes, it's a hell. If it's not a hell yes, it's no.
Oh, yeah. I got that from a podcast I listened to.
But that one is so giving. Michael and I use that all the time. And I forget that. But when I remember it, it's so true. If it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
It's a no.
And here's the thing. Like, I have this, like, this need to keep up sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I feel, because I know I have, like, certain goals. And I, like, have, like, career goals that I'm like, okay, I need to accomplish these. But then also, I'm like, I need to try. This is what you do so well. I need to just trust the flow of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And like the spirit will flow me into, I mean, yes, I got to wake up and work hard and show up every day.
Yeah.
But being I can't force something to happen. No. And you're so good at that. How did you get there?
Well, I'm a pleaser. I want everyone to be happy all the time to a fault. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no stuck with me because somebody, if you're saying yes to everything else besides your hell yeses, then you're saying no to your best yeses.
Oh, break that down.
So if you're saying yes to everybody because you don't want to hurt people's feelings and you're not intentionally deciding what you're going for, then you're saying no to the stuff that's your heart and soul. Like if you say yes to all those stupid little things you don't care about or not excited about, then
that's taking your time.
And it's sucking your energy from who you are and your love and your passion of the things that mean the most to you. So then by focusing, but first you have to, here's the hard thing. You have to take the time to know you.
How do you
helped me with that. I mean, I feel like it's so easy to just have noise and activities and busyness.
My insanity helped
you. Well, I feel like we just both have been on a journey to be our best selves. Like we try really hard to be good people. And obviously we mess up and it's not perfect, but being intentional and really like just being quiet with yourself, knowing who you are, what makes you tick, what makes you happiest, acknowledging that, not trying to save the world, but doing what is, I feel like God puts on our hearts. Everybody has, you know, our own unique makeup. And so if you just focus on those huge heartstrings and callings, if everybody does a little thing, if everybody takes care of ourselves, then all of a sudden you've made a big difference versus being stressed out about all the things to do.
And that's where I can't say used to live because I still do live there. I can see in my mind, all this suffering. And I'm sure I'm just seeing whatever my mind sees. There's so much suffering in the world.
Oh, and we give feelings to dogs and all the animals and
give everybody clouds all the feelings.
I know.
But it's a make-believe because it is coming from my personal brain, these made-up feelings that I am creating a whole life story, saga, scenario for whatever I'm feeling sad for. But that's really, if we were to cut open the brain of that living being, they're experiencing something totally different because they have their own makeup and they've lived through totally different circumstances. So there is no reason for me to put my feelings on it. What there is a reason for me to do is exactly what you're saying. And I'm really trying to grasp this. And this is my Corona goal for myself. And I challenge anyone who's on lockdown to think of it this way. I'm really trying to grasp what you're saying. I have a certain calling and I feel called towards certain things that feel easy and right for me. That's what I need to focus on, not everything else, because it's going to suck all my energy out. I'm going to do a bad job at everything, and I'm going to end up in a ball on the floor crying because I can't. The world is so sad and overwhelming. Whereas if what Gay Gaddis was saying, and I said totally wrong in her email, the leaders of tomorrow are the ones who can find silver lining because everybody needs hope, and you give people hope by doing what you're meant to do. And so how did you learn that, to listen to those callings on your heart? Because that is the key to happiness, I feel like.
I had this moment. It started my sophomore year in college, which I know I'm an old soul. You always were like, how did you have this? But I was so overwhelmed by all the feelings, and so I just didn't like the existence. Like, it was so daunting. And so I just started reading.
It was heavy.
I mean, and I think starting with our relationship, I remember the first self-help book I read that totally changed my life was Gary Chapman's 5 Love Languages.
Yes.
Great book if anyone hasn't read it. But for you and I'm acts of service.
And I was never acts of
service. And you were not. And so I would spend my life trying to help you. Like, and as acts of service, you're not doing what you want to do. Like, you're being a martyr and doing something for someone else. And so I realized that you were words of affirmation, which to me is a cop out because I'm like, that takes 1 second, but I know that means a lot to you. And so I'm like, okay, well, I can tell her how much I love her and how wonderful she is and what a great mom she is. And I don't have to go to the grocery store and prepare you a healthy meal and do your laundry and clean your house, which I don't know why I would even think that. So that helps.
Because, like, that's probably what you would have appreciated.
Oh, poor Willie. I've trained him. get a bottle of spray out. Spray the counters down if you want to show me you love me.
Willie's like, I'm getting lucky tonight. I Windexed all the windows.
I know. I'm like, do something. But I will say, too, another boundaries. Like, we are loved. We both come from huge families, Willie and us. And we always say family first. Like, that's our life. Like, we hang out with people. And when you spend long times, I think this is why we live so well together in captivity.
We're in our little cages.
In our little cages is because I've realized, especially as like an acts of service person, it's up to me to know me and what I'm okay with. It's not fair to you to let you do something to me you don't know you're doing that's ruining my life or stressing me out.
This is what we call wisdom.
Well, but you're so good. We're both, I can be truthful for you, you know?
I appreciate it.
And Willie taught me that. He was like, Catherine, I don't know what you're feeling. It's not fair for you to have something inside of you that's bothering you that I don't know about. And it's really transpired. So then all these people that you love so much that you spend all your time with, be honest. But first, again, it gets back to you have to know who you are and what you're okay with. And that takes time, but I feel like you and Taylor and Jen on the road and all the therapy, I've lived vicariously through y'all. I was thinking we should FaceTime them too.
We should.
I know, have a little reunion.
Man.
So your crazy up and down life has helped me a lot with my Excel spreadsheet, crossing the I's and dotting the T life.
But Catherine, the thing that you have always done for me, which I don't know if you've done this because I've been such a hot mess in the middle of it, you probably don't even know what I'm saying in the midst of all this energy I put out there. You have all, and Willie said this in his podcast, and I agree, you provide a feeling of safety and stable. And I think it's because you're, like, one of your greatest assets is the fact that you are type 1, type A, and 1 on the Enneagram. and all that. But then you've done all this also this work on yourself. So you're so compassionate and aware that you have the ability to make people feel safe and calm and sturdy. And that is such a blessing because
the unhealthy one makes you feel like you've got stick in the mud. Like, you know, I feel like you love so well. People are drawn to you. You have a light and an aura and you suck people in and you make people feel good. Like ones can be very cold and magnetizing. Like somebody, oh gosh, like, okay, call them if you need, you know, something done, but don't want to necessarily be around them. I don't want to be like, I've learned so much from you. Because I want to be approachable and I want to be fun and I want to be present. It's mm-hmm. easy to be distracted. So I appreciate you saying that because that's what I want for my people. I've never wanted to be the star. I'll never forget it, Baylor, when you were doing Baylor Icon. You were out there. I was shaking. I was so nervous. This was like your first singing.
In front of like the campus.
Oh, it was such a big deal. It was in the huge hall and you were the finalist.
I almost blocked it out of my mind. I think it was like traumatizing.
I remember everything, which is also a problem.
I know.
And you were up there and I said, oh my goodness, what does it feel like? Are you so nervous? And you're like, no, I'm nervous if I'm not up there. And I thought that was so interesting to me because you've always wanted to be on stage in front of people. And I'm the opposite. But
you want to help get it all organized.
I want all my people to get all their dreams. But yes, let me organize it. Let me give you a schedule. And here's who you need to talk to and what you need to talk about. I thought I worked at DC for a summer.
That was so cool.
It was so fun. And my dream job, I thought, was to be a scheduler.
You're like a real lobbyist.
/ intern for real, like paper pusher, I did answer the phone, and I sorted mail.
Flat, like a brownstone apartment with all these random people.
It was so fun
going to like work happy hours. I remember riding trains and stuff. I was like, awesome. God, that's cool.
I know, it was really fun. Pete Sessions, so yes. Wonderful, and Henry Bonilla.
Because you were thinking about politics for a minute
until it stressed me out so bad, and then I decided I can't focus on. That's when I like my. Yeah, it was okay. Too much to focus on. I'm better one, like Willie and I, we have our little issues that we work on, that we support, and I pour my heart and soul into those, and then I just pray for everybody else. It's too daunting.
Okay, so go on. You're living in D.C., Pete Sessions. I interrupted you. See, this is what all my listeners tell me. They say, stop interrupting your guests. They're on such great stories, and then you sidetrack it, and then they never come back to what they're originally talking about. This is my fault.
I don't know. We have a lot to talk about. I was going to be a scheduler, A. And so the scheduler got to get all the mail, open up all the mail and all the invites, and then you would get to decide what invites you thought would be worthwhile for the senator or whomever to go to.
So you picked.
And you would write little notes on them, and then you would present them to whomever you were working for and then make the schedule. No, I never had that job. That was a coveted job. But I thought, oh, if I could do that, that would be so fun. I just love a schedule and making it work. Like, I guess the puzzle of it all.
You love a puzzle.
I love timing. I love having a efficient day. But then I also love quarantine life. I mean, here we are.
You love it all. What's a perfect... Okay, if you were to design, and not for like, I'm not saying like a real job, but like the perfect job day scenario for you, like if you were going to do work all day, what would be thrilling? What would it look like?
I love schedule, like love planning.
What does that do for you? Like when you plan something, what
it's satisfying because you start with nothing and then you end with a product.
So do you feel like you, so it's creation. So actually it is creating.
I guess it is. Yeah.
It's a creating because you are creating a day out of nothing and you're making it happen.
Like our RV plans in the summer is so fun for me.
Okay. People say that's not creative, but that's actually really
okay,
creative.
I've never thought about it that way. I guess so.
It really is because you're taking nothing mm-hmm. and you're building a day.
But you have this
but
something.
But the day is completely out of your mind.
That's true.
It's no one else's mind. Everyone else just jumps on board because it's the schedule. So you mm-hmm. feel like it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you created it out of thin air. It's actually super creative.
I love it. We'll pick an area. We're trying to get all the states by by the time she's 18, Corona might set us back a little bit.
And you'll have an RV life.
Which yeah, I RV love. Life.
If y'all just look up RV parks all the time.
I love it. And like all the random little balls of twine and diamond mining and caves and like restaurants. Figure
out all the activities. See, everyone listening, Catherine would do this with our family vacations. Like we
I love it.
Figure out where we're going to go.
Yeah.
Then I don't even know where you look. You go to all the places on Google mm-hmm. and you find all the like the perfect websites that actually are legit with the really interesting people that find the cool things to do wherever you're going. Mm-hmm. You find those websites. I don't know how you find them. And then you figure out exactly where we need to eat. And you're like, this is exactly where we have to eat. This is the place to go.
This is what you need to order.
This is the event we're doing. Like, this is what's happening. And you're so certain about it because you know, because you've done all the research to find it, that it's like, everyone's like, awesome. Heck
well,
yeah.
Well, God bless Willie. He likes a little random. So I feel like I'm swinging both ways. So now he likes to just take off, see where the wind blows you. Which I found is actually pretty fun. But it makes me a little nervous. At first, I was a little nervous because I'm thinking, well, what if we get there and it's booked? Like, I want to stay here. I want to see this. And if we get all the way there and you don't even get to see that. But then it's the adventure of what you did instead. Like, I'm, you know.
That's a great way of looking at it.
And so.
The adventure of what you did instead. That should be the title of a
book.
That
should be a good one.
The adventure of what you did instead. That's y'all's memoir. You and Willie's.
We are the yin and the yang. He has been so good for my type A, and I'm good for his type Z. Like, we meet somewhere in type M, I guess. But I think it's good to have both. I think I thrive on a routine. Like, when I know, okay, Genevieve goes to school 2 days a week. So my Mondays and Wednesdays when she goes to school, I work out, I work, I grocery shop, I meal plan, I'm doing laundry, I'm getting everything done at the same time. I'm in my own little world.
And you are like on, you probably love, you probably feel so good after
thriving.
Those days.
Oh.
Are you like, I checked on top off of the 17 world. Things?
Yes, you're caught up, all your
boxes checked.
All my QuickBooks are reconciled, all my bills are paid, all the invoices are sent, I have my meal plan ready.
And you're like, killing it.
Killing it. But I haven't connected with anyone. And so then on our homeschool days, Tuesday, Thursdays, Fridays, it's so fun. I try to let that be more just organic. You know, I mean, we have to get through certain stuff, but I figured I'm both.
You figured a way to do both.
I thrive off of both in different ways.
But okay, this leads me to another topic. You are so great at balance, at boundaries, and you have worked on that a lot. So tell me what balance looks like to you and boundaries.
It's funny, Beth, you can relate. We're extreme
Beth Harrison. Beth. I went to college with Beth, and then Catherine and Beth Harrison Richards now. Catherine and her met after college, and I've never met two people who are more alike than you two.
She's such a godsend. But
y'all wear
we're
the same clothes,
so
you
extreme.
Talk the same. Like,
I'm an extreme personality by nature, and so I let my like whatever I'm doing. If I'm on, if I'm not working on myself, I'm like all or nothing. Like. Intense workout. Count every calorie. I mean, always on a diet.
Which, you and Beth start a new diet every year.
Oh, I know.
Your favorite one so far is this one. I like this one.
Oh, I do too. Ellie Livesey. Faster Way to Fat Loss.
Yeah, that one's been fun.
Check her out. She's the best. She's so inspiring. But I feel like it's so much better since being a mom too. You know, kids, that's where they're watching you. They're not they're listening to what you're not telling them, you know?
Yeah, they're seeing between the lines.
They're seeing between the lines. And so I don't ever want to talk about that. Like, I've changed my tune now that Genevieve's older. And so I love health and I'm going for balance. I want her to have balance. Eat healthy, eat your protein, eat your vegetables. Of course, have a cookie. Like, you haven't ruined your life if you've eaten a cookie, and in my type A brain it's like, oh, I messed it up, I'm just gonna do whatever work, you know, I didn't get to that today, so I'm just not gonna do anything,
right?
We had a friend that said it's a lot easier to stay in shape than to get in shape.
Good point.
And kind of in life in general, you know, like in your faith, in your marriage, in your just do a little bit. If you're not feeling a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
And so I've learned that from being so extreme where you're in a hole and you're like, gosh, I don't want to have to dig myself out of this hole ever again. Right. I just want to stay present. Diva's trying to say hi.
She's like, let me in.
So I think that's where that comes from, of being an extreme personality and just being tired of your extremity, whatever that word is. Extremity.
I have that extremeness also. And I feel like I used to do that same thing. I've said this on the podcast before, and I'll say it again. And Catherine knows this, and everyone who's listened knows. I used to struggle with, like, everyone, I'm sure, struggle with eating issues on some level. Mm-hmm. I took mine to, like, diet pills and tinkered around with bulimia in my earlier days. You know all that. And finally, I got to the same point as you. Like, when I got pregnant, something changed. And I think it's because mm-hmm. we struggled so long to get pregnant that when I got pregnant, I did not care. Like, the last thing I cared about was my body image because mm-hmm. I was just so thankful to finally be pregnant. And yeah. I was like, I don't care if my body changes. I don't care if I get stretch marks. I mean, mm-hmm. I didn't want any of that, obviously. But I also wanted to be pregnant so much more. For the first time, I was like, okay, my body is a miracle. Like, mm-hmm. I'm appreciating it for totally. The first time. And then when I had her, I was like, I mean, I don't care about my body right now. I'm chasing. I mean, mm-hmm. I care about it, but I don't care about it looking perfect. I'm just grateful that it's moving for
healthy
me and working
and such
for
a
me.
Beautiful vessel. Yeah.
And I can like use it to carry Sunny, and what a blessing. And so it's like same kind of thing. It's like,
I think I that's what Corona is doing for the world. Honestly,
I think that's the like mm-hmm. everything. There's a negative and there's a positive. Mm-hmm. So I agree. What do you think the positive
just
of Corona
stripping
is?
The world away from, I mean, everybody was, the first thing anyone ever said to you is, oh, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
I cut busy out of my vocabulary.
How'd you, cause that drove you crazy?
It just drove me crazy because you're in control of your life. Uh-huh. Like, you get to decide where you spend time. And
you can make boundaries.
You can make boundaries and you can say no. And saying you're busy, which everyone's busy. I get it. I mean, that's total legit. The world is crazy. But if you're so busy, you're not doing things you want to do, or just be like, so I always would say, hope to see you soon. Not, oh, let's get together.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate that.
Pressure.
When can we get together? I'm so busy.
Oh,
I can't do lunch. I'm
let's
like,
hang out.
So I always just say, hope to see you soon. Or
I'm gonna take that,
look forward to crossing paths soon.
Because you actually don't want to hang out anytime
yeah,
soon.
Yeah. And if you don't want to hang out, don't say it. Just say, great seeing you. But the whole like.
I don't have to make another plan.
No. And if you're so, I don't know. So
hope
I've
to see you soon. I like that.
Yeah. Hope to see you soon. But I think just the getting back to being intentional, like, what do you want your day to be full of? At the end of this day, what have you done? And so
you figured out a balance. You want you need your type A days. Like, you need one of those or two of those a week.
Yes.
To really like get that powered up. Because mm-hmm. that makes you feel good and alive. Oh, there's a baby in us.
There's a baby and a big girl.
Here, Gigi, you want to say hi? Here's Sunny and Gigi.
Hi.
Sunny, you want to say hi?
Yay.
Your best friend. Gigi, tell me the favorite. We're going to ask before you leave, because Gigi is the best. She's like little mama with Sunny, literally holding her on her hip right now.
At all times.
What's your favorite thing about your mom?
She's really good at doing stuff.
Like what?
Like doing adventurous stuff and like doing fun stuff. And like other stuff like that.
She's the best. She's the most fun and adventurous. I agree, sis.
Good. I want
to
be adventurous.
You know, one thing I said that you said that also is another thing that stuck with me. Okay, we're almost done, Gigi. Is you always said I want to be in the pictures.
Yes, that was a big aha moment for me.
Like when you said that, I was like, you're like, I don't want to be the one taking the pictures. I want to be in the pictures, and I don't care if I look perfect or mm-hmm. whatever's happening. I'm getting in the picture. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? Because I loved that. That really has stuck with me.
Because my personality, it's easy to say, oh, y'all go do something. I'm going to stay back and
clean.
Make dinner, clean, do laundry. And then I'm
do
thinking,
something that's just a chore.
Yeah, because I like to do things, check those boxes. I would write stuff on my list that I'd already done just to cross it out. What is that? I don't know. Some psychologist can psychoanalyze me. But then I thought, okay, at the end of the day, all these memories are so fun, and that's life, your memories. Nobody's yeah. gonna say she did a great job
cleaning
laundry and cleaning. Like, it was so fun to go get her a tube and float down Hog Creek in freezing cold water because it's running more than it had ever been. So at the end of the day, I think I just live sort of with that, not to be depressing, but I guess more eternal value. Like if I died tomorrow, like what would I have said about today? What would I have done today that was meaningful? And it is important, so important to keep a home going and healthy food and well fed and clean and all that. But I think there's a balance. Like I don't want to just do that. I want to be in the pictures. I want to be in the memory. I want to experience all that fun. And you're great at that. You have always been the daredevil. I mean, you love the thrill of life. And I'm more of a, I mean, I had to be really brave to make myself try a roller coaster, and actually it was fun. But for the most, for like the first 15 years of my life, I said, I don't like roller coasters.
And then you decided, why am I?
And then I was like, well, let me just try one. And I don't like the wooden ones, but I do, or the ones that go backwards.
You actually went and tried them all out and figured out what you really liked.
Yeah. And if I hated it, I'd never have to do it again.
But you tried it.
But I tried it. Food, not so exciting.
You like just straight up pasta and cheese pizza.
I'm not going to try something. I know it. I have a weird food thing, but.
You always have.
Oh, I've lived off of noodles.
When we went to camp, though, we went to this camp in Texas called Waldemar's All Girls Camp. Catherine was so, you were so great at everything. You were like canoeing captain at like.
I failed at
you
food.
Shot archery like 100. You, how, like the farthest archery you could shoot.
American archer, baby.
I mean, you would get a bullseye the length of a football field.
Heck yeah.
Like you're like Katniss Everdeen. Like I'm not kidding.
I took a double. Catherine, don't come mess with us in Corona. We got our.
Catherine is an archer. Like you had so many bows and arrows, and they were the most high tech ever. And you would shoot from. I can't believe it was in the middle of a field where people were walking.
I know they changed that. They moved it to the side
in case someone lost an arrow. But you would shoot like, I swear it was like the length of a football field.
I know. I don't know how I got into that. I loved it.
Did you ever do it anymore?
No, I need to.
You need to do that. Don't lose that.
I know.
You were so great at that.
It was fun.
How did you find archery? Did it just click with you?
I guess. I don't know. I think they made you maybe take it or.
And then you just like connected?
I loved it.
Was it because.
I like a good project.
Was there because it was such an intense goal maybe, to get the bullseye?
Bullseye. You could win. There was something to like win or get.
Consistently you could
win.
And it was instant. Once you practice, you could like.
And then there were all these things to get. So it's like you had to shoot X amount from the 10-yard line or. X amount from the 25, 50. You had to work your way up. There's this I don't know if they still have it, but it's an American Archer, like check boxes, you know, so I could check them. So I had to shoot X amount of points from each as you checked off the 10, then you did the 20 and then 30. And so give me a checklist. I mean, come on, I'm going to finish it.
Now we got an American Archer on our hands.
Oh, and then they invented, so then some of us, there were a few of us that got our American Archer from the 50s. So they invented the Waldemar round. And that was like double what the American Archer was. So
you got it.
So I took archery double so I could check those boxes. Give me that award.
Truly.
I think that probably had something to do with it. The satisfaction of.
That makes sense.
Achieving.
Yeah.
I'm an achiever. I want to follow the rules. I want to achieve what is expected of me to a fault. Yeah.
I'm not that.
No wonder that I was into that.
That makes a lot of sense.
I knew what I was going for.
You love to know what you're... And you say that in your day. Mm-hmm. What are you going for? You wake up and say that. But where I came up with this is like when we were eating in the dining hall, you would never eat any of your food. Oh. And then you would just stare at everyone's plates.
I would just stare at people eating gross food. It grossed me out. And I got horrible table grades.
Because they would say, stop staring at people eat.
And eat three bites.
But you would not.
Not worth it. I don't care. I would try to hide it under lettuce or bread, but like, no way.
What grosses you out about food?
Oh, smells.
It kills you?
Smells kill me. If I walk into some place that stinks, I walk out.
Because what does that make? What do you do? What does your brain think?
What does my brain think? It like is instant shutdown. It's like I smelled a poisonous gas or something that my body might die. I think it must be some old survival technique. If you walked up to something that stunk in the day that probably had diseases. I don't know. So if I walk into a place and it stinks, I can't eat there.
And everybody knows it. And it's not even worth arguing with you because it's not happening.
No.
That's what I love about you too, sister. You're go, 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 go with the flow until you're not. And then it's like, nope, not even worth it.
But I will say, like with food, I would say is probably
non-negotiable.
No, non-negotiable. But if you're coming to our house for dinner, I'm going to text you what I'm cooking, all the ingredients, see if you're adverse to anything, if you prefer something else. I want everyone else to get it how they want it too. I'm not going to put my food on you. I really want you to have it because people don't understand. Like Willie will eat anything except olives, which we grew up on black olive pizza. Like that's our one thing.
You like olives?
He will eat your shoe leather and he will not eat an olive. And so I want everyone else to enjoy it. Like I want you, I love food and I love cooking and doing things, but if you put something gross in it, it ruins it for me. So I don't want to ruin it. So I'm very accommodating to other people.
You are. And it's so funny that you text someone the full bean ahead of time. Like, someone comes over to my house, I'm like, are you bringing something?
Oh, yeah. Or you're not? The best. You eat whatever. And you're going to put all the leftovers in baggies. So we're saving all of our food and being very conscious.
I don't know how to cook at all. Michael's a cook when we're at home, and he cooks Southern food. And I have just decided to eat anything. Like, I've become like Willie. I don't want to cook it. It's like stresses me out. So I don't really care.
The mixtures you come up with.
I will mix anything. I will put rice with cheese and mix some Cheetos in there and dip it with a tortilla chip. I am a rat.
You're a rat.
I love to eat like a rat.
Yeah, you always kind of have. You're a survivor. That's good. I would die.
On everything.
I love cheese too.
I want to melt cheese into anything.
You've always put like chips on top of stuff. We would go to Uncle Dan's Best Barbecue in Waco.
So good.
And we would get Texas taters and put Cheetos on top.
Yes.
That was so good.
Oh, it's still so good.
It is so good. I know.
Yeah.
So I think back to our different personalities though, I think that's the beauty of it. Like, us having each other has made us better people. And I would say that about all the people. Like right now, I'm turning 40 this year. 2020 40 vision.
Woo
woo. Woo woo. I would say like intentionally all the people in my life, I feel like I've realized there are phases. You know, you think, gosh, I was best friends with that person and I don't keep up with them, but you have these phases of life. And right now I feel like the people in my life, I've really tried hard to have healthy relationships so that you enjoy your people, you enjoy your life. We subject ourselves to our own living hells.
That's so true. Like,
there's so many things we can't control. And then previous corona, you look at the things that we've subjected ourselves to that people hate. I'm like, but you chose to do that.
Right.
You don't have to do that. So I feel like that's what I'm going for in this.
Like, you're very aware that you have a choice.
Very aware. And I'm very
choosy. Yeah.
Like, I take those choices seriously.
Uh-huh.
Because I am so affected by things. Yeah. I don't want to be tired. I'm going to go to bed.
You don't want to hate your people.
I don't want to hate my people. I don't want to feel bad. I love mimosas. I can't drink orange juice. I think I'm pre-diabetic or something. And so if I want to have a fun day, I can't drink a mimosa in the beginning of a Saturday because I'm going to be tired all day.
And it's not worth
and
it.
And I miss out on everything then.
Because you're tired. And it sounds fun to drink
mimosas. It sounds so fun. I love mimosas. If I know I can take a nap, what did Rain say? Eat what you want, how you want to feel.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And so if I want to drink a mimosa and take a nap, awesome. But I know I can't. And you have to just know yourself, I think. I feel like I've just spent this last decade
you intentionally trialed and erred.
Yes.
You took inventory. It's like when you do that allergy test and they scrape your back and they put all the things in your back to see what you're allergic to.
Yes.
You've done an allergy test for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you now know what you can live with and what you can't, what makes you happy, what doesn't, and you just don't do what you're allergic to.
Most of the time. I mean, I want to feel good and I want to be happy.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've had the past couple years have been so crazy, and it has given us this eternal perspective. When you have these life and deaths and ups and downs and you feel like you're in the clouds. Like, we've been so off of the ant level, I guess, of the ground. Cause we just were kind of, last year, it was just kind of like one eternal thing to the next. And it's beautiful up there too. Like, it's scary and sad. And
what do you mean up there? Just talk about your faith.
Faith
is a big part of it.
Yeah. That analogy is like when you're just not worried about your day to day, when you're dealing with so many big life things, you're just kind of
actual really life and death.
Yeah. Life and death. We had a year of life and death last year. And I feel like your perspective is different because you don't have the time to worry about stuff that normally you were too busy or stressed out about.
Right.
Cause you're just dealing with the big stuff. But faith to me is everything. And I feel like this is something I've learned too. I've always had the Holy Spirit in me and felt it so huge. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a gift too. Like, cause for me, what is right is feels so right. Like, if I doing something I know to be wrong, it makes me feel sick inside. And it always has. Like, I've had that forever.
Your compass is very strong.
Very strong. I guess it gets back to that not wanting to feel bad and the same like with my faith. Like, God has always, I've always known what is right. Obviously, haven't always done it. But then I just, I had the gut feeling to know. And so I'm lucky. I know that I'm lucky for that now because God keeps me on my path.
Like, you know exactly what your path is.
Exactly.
And it's new every day. You wake up.
I don't know where it's leading me, but
you can feel the spirit.
At each intersection, I have a feeling of what's right for me.
What does the Holy Spirit feel like to you?
It's just like your whole chest and heart, like, you know that feeling when you're about to get sick or if you're nervous? Mm-hmm. When I have that feeling, I know it's not right. Mm-hmm. And this is something else. If you don't know, you know.
Okay, like, wait, break that down.
If you're uncertain, if you don't know what the right answer is, then I feel like you just hold tight.
Like, you just chill.
Pray about it. Like, be still. Don't ever force something. I used to be a forcer. Like, okay, I need to get this over with. Check this over.
So let me just do this option because it seems like the best.
Yeah. But if you don't know, if you don't have that peace, or for me, if I don't know, then I just wait.
And then will the answer show up?
Always. I mean, think about life. It's funny now that you've lived long enough to look back at stuff. Mm-hmm. You think something is so important, you have to decide right now. Oh my goodness. And then you think, then you have to go back and redo when it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
My sweet neighbor, Sheila, she's so wise, our old neighbor, she always said, Catherine, you don't have to be the first to respond.
On a text chain.
Anything.
I think about that too. I get a text, I'm on tons of text chains.
Yes.
And sometimes someone will text something out and like with an answer that needs to be replied to or something that needs to be done.
Yes.
And I feel like I got to write back right away, but I don't have to even write back.
Some people don't even know you're on that text chain.
Exactly.
And we stress ourselves out thinking, okay, I need to sign up for that. If you get a meal calendar for somebody or if I get a text chain, I'm like, duh. No.
That's another thing I've never forgotten. You said you don't have to be the first to respond.
Sheila taught me that. It was one of those huge.
So you made yourself pause.
Pause. But when you know something's right, like you and your podcast.
You are the reason I started this podcast.
But it was.
Because I was having a meltdown again.
I know, because you were trying to fit into other people's lives.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when you get on your path and you weren't forcing anything and you weren't making anything up, like, this is what God was calling you to do. You're awesome at this.
Well, it's because I finally get to made
for this.
All the questions in here into everyone's brains. Yeah. Like, I've always wanted
and not
to
have to fake playing the mandolin or whatever.
Oh yeah, when I was in all sorts of bands, I had to like fake an instrument because I would never learn guitar. And then they were like, "Oh, learn the mandolin." So I just faked it. I
and
literally
look at this.
Faked it.
We're hooked up to this cool little.
Oh, this is nothing.
But you've learned how to do this, sister. If you weren't into this, this would be so intimidating to you.
Yeah.
But you love it. And I feel like that's where it is. I mean, obviously, we all do things we don't want to do. But I think for major life decisions, like the day I met Willie, I knew I was going to marry him.
How?
I know that's so annoying for people. They're like, how do you know?
How did you know?
I don't know. It's just this feeling.
Like, you knew?
I knew. The day I saw our dog on a picture online, I knew I was going to get her. The day I saw our house, I knew I was going to get it. God burned a hole in our heart for Genevieve. It's weird. It's like,
you just, when you know, you know.
It's something you can't. It's just like, if you don't do it, you're just in the wrong place all the
time.
It's
almost like a stake in the ground.
Yeah.
It's like if you're building your fence, like you have the wire in between, mm-hmm. that you're kind of just chilling. But then when you get these stakes in the ground and that's like, yep, that's it.
I think too, it's I've tried to get noise out of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gotten to a point where I've tried to just have stuff in my life that's real, mm-hmm. and that makes me, builds me, you know, that I can trust. And so when you don't have all the distractions too, you can have these feelings, I guess. I don't know. I really think it's a gift now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that not everybody has it so blatantly.
But you're able to live through life and live through life and death because your faith is so strong. Like, you know, at the end, what is this life to you? And then what is faith to you?
Well, the only guarantee is death.
Uh-huh.
And so I believe, for me, faith makes everything make sense. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes sense. Like, you can't explain my mind. You can't explain what is happening or who you are. For me, like, nothing makes sense unless I, oh, our babies.
There's two more babies in here.
I just know that God is sovereign and God has me, and I believe that we're all connected and everything that happens for a reason to get you to the next place where you're supposed to be too.
Yeah.
And when I truly wholeheartedly believe that, I believe everybody has something good in them, and I look mm-hmm. for that. And I believe that God has everyday planned, like his time is not human time. And it takes away the pressure of trying to be on some time frame or do, it takes the pressure of the world away. Mm-hmm. Because
you believe it with your whole heart.
Oh, I 100%.
But you don't ever doubt God and his faith. Like sometimes I can feel like, I know there's a God. Yes, he's got it. But then let me get all stressed out trying to do it myself down here. Like you're good at really keeping God as a part of your every day-to-day existence.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a moving meditation prayer with you.
Total. And I feel like I've gotten in like every, I'm able to see God. It's not like pray, not pray. Like it's all sort of this just like continuum of
prayer.
Prayer, life. God, like miracles. I mean, looking, if you look out the, everything's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can view the world that way, there's so much heartache and bad. And I know there's dark things, but if you try to live in the light, darkness, what do they say? If you crack the door to darkness, the light
overtakes the darkness.
And so if you are trying to see the light, I feel like it just takes away the darkness. And that's what God is to me.
And I used to feel, this is my corona challenge I'm working on. I would feel guilty for feeling happy when I know there's all this suffering happening out there. It's like, if I'm aware that all these sad things and terrible things are happening, I shouldn't allow myself to feel good. But going back to this Gay Gaddis quote, even though I'm saying it all wrong, you have to see the silver lining if you're going to be a leader and bring hope. Because if you're just suffering and wallowing with all these suffering stories that you hear of the world, then there's no way you can bring light to the world. I'm not saying you can't feel it and be aware of it and help and give where you feel called, because you should. But you also then have to be able to separate and stay in the light, or else what good will you bring to anyone?
And amidst all the suffering, there's so many blessings. Like,
yes,
I think, you know, back to our grandfather, he went in kind of at the beginning of corona. And so he's been by himself. Nobody can go see him. But all the ICU nurses, like they take on an emotional role now. Mm-hmm. Doctors, like there are so many angels on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much good despite the suffering. Like when you're in dark places, there's still often somebody or a hope that you can hold on to. And I think if everybody just gives people the benefit of the doubt.
That's so cool.
If you just believe people are doing the best they can do and it's not personal against you, it's just people are life, you know,
it's not personal.
That's another change. Like when you truly believe that people are out for the best, they're not out to take you down.
Mm-hmm.
They're just tired, whatever.
They're just doing their
own. Mom taught us that with her philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember we would say, oh, so-and-so hurt my feelings and you need to call their mom. Or you're thinking, I would want her to call their mom to fix
it. Right.
And she would always say, well, what are they going through in their life that would make them.
Mom has always been very good.
Yes.
Like having a broad perspective like that.
And if you believe the world's not out to get you. I mean, Oprah, her story was so powerful. She's been through such dark, hard things that could have. She had every excuse to not get up, but instead she said those experiences didn't happen to me, they happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because now here she is, the most empathetic, amazing
world changer
mm-hmm. because of what she's been through.
So she used it for light,
and I do believe you get to choose how you respond, and it's okay to not be okay. You know,
sometimes you don't have to be okay.
Yeah. And you know, bad things, hard things aren't necessarily bad. They're just hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay too.
That's a great point. Everyone like comes up with this plan for their life. And if something hard or difficult happens, people say that's bad. They immediately label it bad, but it's not bad.
Mm-mm.
Because if you truly have a spiritual existence, you know that God will use all of this,
all of that,
for your ultimate good. And like Oprah says, for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves storms, that involves dark periods.
Totally.
Because you learn, it shapes you in a different way than if everything's just great. You learn depth to yourself.
Yes. And even just like watching the CMA fest on the TV, how nobody was done
CMA
up
at home.
CMA at home. Yeah.
Just playing acoustic.
Nobody was done up. The sound wasn't perfect, but
everyone recorded it themselves.
Yes, on your iPhone, on your iPad. But it was so powerful. Like it's just people being people.
And we're all that.
And humanity, that's how you connect with humanity. Being real, being you. Like it's not about who you think you should be. It's who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
So give people steps on how to discover who you are. If people are so lost in the noise and lost in the keeping up and lost in the climbing the ladder and whatever else, how would you suggest people find out who they are?
For me, it starts with quiet. You just have to be still and be quiet. And I would say for me, I've started, well, and like for you, our relationship, I've always wanted to love you. If I focus on actions that are annoying to me, I'm going to be annoyed with you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I would say start with a relationship that's, for me, a relationship that is trying. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I always try to do is like, if I start getting annoyed with someone, Willie or Genevieve or you or whatever, which thankfully I've trained my brain. You can train your brain. Mm-hmm. So the second I feel something annoyed, I focus on three things of gratitude.
Ooh, I love that.
So if something comes in and I'm thinking something not positive, stop it. Like, just don't
stop it.
Stop it. Don't let you those feelings get stuck. Let those fly away. And it's okay to be annoyed. Like, you know what? I think this is all just for, it's not, I don't want to act like I'm always feeling.
You're saying for the most part, this is your technique.
This gives you,
this is your tools.
And this gives you acceptance of people for who mm-hmm. they are. Mm-hmm. And so for me, then I just focus on the three things I love the most about them.
And really feel that.
And feel that. And then because you think, you know, Sally Robb, this lady in Austin who's so wise and gives women's retreat, she said her husband would throw little pieces of paper and she would find these little pieces of wadded up paper all over the house. And she viewed, instead of being annoyed with them, you view it as a little blessing. You're so mm-hmm. thankful for that person's life and those little reminders. I mean, if it's driving you crazy, maybe you should work on it. But, you know, you can view things like that as a little blessing and a reminder. And you would be so sad if that paper wasn't there.
Yeah.
And not to be always sad, but just to kind of change your focus.
Just to see the eternal value, really.
And then appreciate the people around you because we're all human.
Yeah.
And if, and this is something else, I don't want people to look for the worst in me.
Yeah.
So view people as you want to be viewed. You know, look, uh-huh. try to find the best in them so they hopefully try to find the best in you. If you try to help people, then they try to help you. Like yeah. if you're happy, they're happy back.
People are mirrors.
You're mirrors. What do they say? You get back what you put out.
Yes. Or it's really karma.
Karma. Totally. Yeah. And on sad days, it's okay to be sad. I will say something that's helped me as a parent instead, because Genevieve and I spend so much time together. When I'm feeling tired or frustrated or hormonal or I'm sick or whatever, I say what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Instead of, because as kids, I remember like taking people, feeling emotion of all those people around you. And so if you say what you're feeling, then she doesn't have to worry.
And take it on that she's doing something.
I say, Genevieve, I love you so much. My day is over. I'm finished talking.
Yeah.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed. It's not you. It's me.
I just need to recharge.
Just be honest.
Yeah.
And then you don't have this undercurrent of.
She knows it's not personal.
Yeah. And then she can tell me if she's having feelings. You've helped us with that, sister, being honest with your emotions.
Thank you. You're framing it nicely.
Well, because then it's not personal. You know, then you're not. The kid doesn't have to worry if. You know,
if they're the reason you're upset.
Yeah.
Another thing you said, a little parenting advice here at the end, is you said you told Genevieve you will always tell her the truth.
Always. Mary Flo Ridley, the birds and the bees. Genius. If that. You need something for your kids.
Mary Flo Ridley?
Ridley. She started The Birds and the Bees. It teaches your kids how to talk about sex, or teaches you how to talk about sex to your kids, because they say we spend our whole life trying to prepare our kids and keep them safe. You know, you send them to schools, you help them with their homework, you keep them dressed, well fed, all these sports.
Out of harm's way.
You catch them when they fall. You put a Band-Aid on their cuts. And the one thing we're scared to talk to our kids about is sex. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing they're most curious about. Mm-hmm. And that we won't, you know, that we don't know what to say. So it starts, she has this whole program and it starts when they're young. And any question they ever ask that makes you blush, you know, you always say, that is such a good question. I'm so glad you asked. And then you tell him.
Such a good question. I'm so glad
you asked. And that gives you a second to catch your breath before you start saying these words that make feel weird.
Cringe. Yeah. And you've got to say it straight face, nonchalantly.
But I tell her, I'm always going to tell you the truth because you want to be the expert. Your kids are going to figure out stuff.
And that Willie was saying that too yesterday because we were talking about something, and Willie told Genevieve the truth about it. And I remember thinking in my head, oh my gosh, I want to dodge this question. Mm-hmm. But instead, he just nonchalantly told her the truth. And I was like, God. And we talked about that the next day.
Yeah.
And y'all said, you want to be the expert because why?
Because if you tell them false information, they're not going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting the rapport. And it says, this was something that was eye-opening. They say, even if your kid's in kindergarten, the maturation of that class is the oldest sibling of that class. Mm-hmm. So you think, oh, my kid's five. They're in kindergarten. I don't have to worry about saying the right words or telling them the truth. But that there could be someone in there that has who's a Willie, who has four older brothers and sisters that are in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're hearing words and things they've never heard. And
bringing them back to their five-year-old kindergarten class.
Yes. And so you just have to be the expert. And say, she gives this
whole. I love that, because you said if you're not the expert, they're going to go.
Their friends will be.
And they're trying to find information. Mm-hmm. That's all they're trying to do. Like everything we do now, if we have some, if you have a picture or a text or we mention something, Jimmy's like, let me see. Let me hear. What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're just
she
curious.
Wants to know.
Yeah, fact finding. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, like, we've had the sex talk with Genevieve maybe since kindergarten. You think, oh my gosh, this is
how
so.
How do you do it?
Well, I wrote down her words step by step. I kept them on my phone. I prayed about it constantly. I would just look at it so I knew what I was supposed to say. And you just have a streamlined factual message. You know, she goes into the whole comparing it to science and flowers and just anatomy. And it's not emotional. And at the end of it, they're like, huh. There's no emotion behind it. It's just,
it's not like it's big for,
because they're just
thing.
Trying to figure out how it works.
Yeah. They don't even know what they're asking.
No.
Yeah.
I think truth for me, and that's where I am now at this phase too. Honesty is always the best policy.
Always.
When you tell the truth, even if it hurts you for a second, it gets you to where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. For me, trying to keep up with what you've said or what you're supposed to say,
like,
or
trying to make someone happy or don't want to hurt their feelings, yeah. Or you want to present it in a certain way, really just be it.
And if it's not meant to be, good riddance. You know, honestly, yeah, like yeah. If it's not meant to be and you can't keep it up, then let it go.
Yeah.
And appreciate it for what it was when it was, but it's not where you're supposed to be right now.
I love that. And here's a baby.
Here are the babies back. Have to give a shout out to cousin Janet.
Okay, hey, Janet. Planet with
Janet. Planet with Janet, best cousin and listener ever. She stays up late to listen to these at midnight when they post.
Janet, I love you, Janet. And you all send me messages about the podcast. That's Willie's
cousin.
Cousin.
One of.
Yeah.
We're blessed by the best families ever. We all have the best cousins, family, siblings, parents, grandparents.
Sunny says, okay, so I wrap up every podcast. Catherine, I'm so glad we got to do this.
I love you so much. I'm so proud of you.
I'm so proud of you. And Genevieve, I'm going to include you on this. I'm going to do leave your light. So what? That's what Sunny wants everyone to know, is that she's finding her voice. What do you want people to know? Here, you go first and then Jean, okay. You go second. What do you want people to know?
I want people to know that who you are is who you're meant to be. Like, don't be you and just own you.
Yeah.
Because
take the time to find you.
Take the time to find you. Take the time to own you. And don't compare your journey to someone else's. Like, acknowledge your own path and just swim in your own lane. Because that's what makes the world so interesting. If we all were doing the same thing,
how
boring would that be? So I just believe that God gave each of us our internal, like, best selves. And by owning that, is you get to your trueness.
And I feel like that's how you ultimately bless the world. Okay, G, what do you want people to know?
We're on a time frame.
Anything, first thing that comes to mind. It could be anything. Doesn't have to be complicated.
That you should have fun during the quarantine.
That's right.
Genevieve said something great the other day. We had church, which was so fun. Catherine and Willie and Genevieve put on church in the house at Hog Creek House. And we all went around and said things that we were going to try to do this week to be blessed. And Genevieve said, I think we should take a walk. Take a walk. And what'd you say?
And try to see things that you haven't seen before.
How profound and wise is that? Because there's beauty everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Genevieve is very smart and very intentional.
We're lucky to get to live together right now.
It's a blessing. We've made the lemonade out of lemons. Like, the quarantine happened and we're like... get together and make the most of this, because when are we ever going to have a chance to live together with no schedules ever again?
And at the end of this quarantine, what are you going to have to say about it?
I'm going to have to say we were in nature every day. Genevieve, Sunny feels it. Sunny and Genevieve got to form this relationship who would have ever known? Okay, bye, Sunny and G. They would have never gotten the chance to have this relationship on this level.
I know. And we've gotten to do things. Willie said it right. He was like, it goes to show the first couple weeks, you're still fighting it a little bit.
Uh-huh. Because you're like, this is, I'm not going to give in.
Like,
what's
week
happening
three
now?
Or four now? You're just like giving in.
Yeah. What else to do?
Yeah.
So you finally realize, why would I not give in to this? Like, why would I not choose to see the blessings of this? Because here we are.
I know. I'm not a doctor or a nurse. I'm so thankful for them. We pray for them. We send them all of our regards. God bless you all. And I'm not. I can't do that.
That's not what we are called.
As a matter of fact, we can't even go visit our grandfather.
In the hospital.
In the hospital. So I'm going to give so much thanks for them. And then do our part. Stay home and enjoy. Like, staying home and being in a bad mood.
What's that? It's not going to help anything.
No.
Yeah. So help where you can.
And I will say, this last thing I will say. This, never in our lifetime has the entire world suffered at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like 9/11, but it didn't, the world instant shutdown, nobody's thriving. Like no businesses, maybe Purell and Cottonelle.
In Zoom meetings.
But everybody's in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And it's connecting us all as humanity. So
yeah, it doesn't, all status is being, I mean, people still have their status and title, but like nobody's business is working right now.
Yeah.
Really.
And the best thing you can do is just work on you. Like, this is a reset for our souls and our life. And this is going to mark time. So what are we going to remember when it's over?
And I think we're blessed. We made, all of us made the choice, and mom and dad too, to be like, okay, let's just enjoy
quarantine
this
together.
Let's quarantine,
I know,
in Texas together, because when are, in the middle of life and working careers and raising kids, when do you have 2 months off of your job? Probably
no. And I feel like we're so good at making time for each other. We always see each other at least every 6 weeks, but we've never had this amount of time together. So,
and seeing Sugar out there run free like a farm dog that she is, getting covered in mud head to toe,
covered
every day. It's so
Skitty the rabbit,
Skitty
hopping
the
free
rabbit,
I know, the little hamster Molly. So,
Diva being the princess, little
I would just say big virtual hugs to everybody. Yeah. Everybody's doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And just keep doing a good job.
Yeah.
Keep doing the best you can do.
And make some time for quiet.
And cheers. Listening. I mean, we've all had a little extra wine these days.
I know. I'm just finally
cheers
giving
and virtual hugs.
I love you, sis. Thanks for joining me.
I love you
me
so much.
This is so great.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.